Welcome to Shenanigans. Hey, hey, it's Aisha.
Hey, it's Jenny.
Yo, baby, what's up? It's Tyra. Welcome back to another episode of Shenanigans. Bah, 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 bah. It's another month and another time for a full episode, so let's not waste any time and let's hop right into our icebreaker. And for this episode's icebreaker, the question is, if you had to be an element, so earth, wind, fire, or water, which one would you be?
I would be wind.
Why?
I would be wind. Because wind goes where it wants to. You can't really contain wind. It just flows wherever it wants to flow. You know, on a nice spring day when the breeze or wind is flowing, it feels really good. Yeah, so I think I would be wind.
Oh, that's a good option. I would be water. Again, it can take form in many different, you know, containers. You know, it can be in a cup. It could be in a big container. It just takes, you know, its own shape. I like the way that it flows. I like the way that it sounds. It can put out fire. It can replenish the earth. It's great for your body. It's a necessity. Yeah. And it's the one element that's not in earth, wind, and fire, the group. So I might as well be solo.
I initially had thought about water, but I said, you know, it's one thing about wind is like it's invisible. So I can just go abracadabra on people.
Woo, if that means you.
So.
Listen. Is if
definitely Jenny, yeah, because you know, with water, you know, it could be like what you need, but it could also be dangerous, like a tsunami. So, on brand for me,
very much so.
Aisha, what element would you be?
You know. I'm probably having like a dinghy moment. I haven't been in school in a really long time. I did not know Earth was an I literally Googled. I was like, oh no, we're going to have to edit that out because somebody started talking about Earth is not an element.
You don't fact check.
Because I'm only... And then you said...
Aisha. And you ain't never heard nobody call Earth, Wind, and Fire the elements?
No!
Never heard anybody refer to
They're them. Called that because they're all elements?
Yes!
Today years old. I literally was over here on mute like, hey Siri.
Did you watch the movie like Elemental with
I did, but they didn't talk about Earth.
But you didn't see like the people with the tree, like the tree people and the
Yeah, and that made no sense to me. Everything else made sense. That did not. I was like, oh, those are the people that are impacted by the elements.
You know, like earth signs, like there's air signs, there's fire signs, there's water signs.
Oh my God!
Earth signs.
Fix it, Jesus.
Someone's gonna eat me up for this, okay? And I am so aware. This is why it's not, I didn't major in anything that has to do with anything related to this. Woo! Did I teach myself that subject? What?
Obviously you passed.
Damn, and you said with the horoscopes. Okay. Whoo, let's move on. Oh my goodness. My mind is blown.
Who would you be?
I don't know where I thought that came from. Please, the judgment on your face.
No, we want to know which one you would be. That's what we're waiting
for. Oh, which one would I be? Yeah. You know, I thought about water because fluid feels relatable, but
this is not uncut. You saved that for uncut.
I might tell on myself later. Okay, so anywho, hope you're a uncensored listener. It would be fire for sure. I'm a fire sign. Maybe that's why that's the only element I know about. Okay. But why would I be fire? I mean, I used to have a attitude, which I can't stand. Don't even get me started. Name me that for the wrong reason. Anywho, I think because, you know, like I'm bold, I really don't take a lot of stuff from people. I will tear some shit up and turn and set it on fire for improvement. And sometimes you need fire to just come burn some stuff down so that it could be rebuilt. It's given new beginnings. And I think that I do that in different spaces of my life and other people's lives.
Period. And it's warm and you hot.
Period. Period. Layman.
Hot. Ooh, y'all so funny. I can't wait to see what our listeners, what elements they gonna be. Don't judge Aisha too much. Not too much.
Don't do too much.
Peanut might comfort you, but don't do too much. Yeah.
Don't do it like that. I was being honest.
This is a safe space. It is.
Period.
So for this episode's hot topic, we are going to talk about winding down and slowing down in the fall, because it is fall time, autumn, and usually, typically, life's kind of, you know, slows down a little bit from all of the commotion that the summer may bring. So do y'all feel like y'all's lives kind of slow down a little bit when fall comes?
Hell no.
And this is why you fire.
Because literally, hell no. Like it really picks up.
Why?
For me. In the fall. I think it's because, especially work, like it gets worse before it gets better. I think it's like all the things that need to be done by the end of the year, finish the year strong, going to quarter four strong. And so it's like everything gets very hot at one time. And then the cool off period is like 3 weeks before the year's over. And so for me, like everything picks up, or I'm already like, because of how I am and that I'm like a planner and I'm like, and we literally were just talking about that with She, like, I will be like, okay, I gotta plan everything for next year. I gotta jump on next year and we ain't even in December. And so I think that also helps like pick things up for me, because while I may not have certain things going on, I'm in like a very heavy planning period too.
I didn't think about that. And that's interesting that you say that, because I didn't think about that in terms of my personal versus work life. Because work, you're right, it does not pick up. Like, I mean, it does not slow down. Actually, it does pick up. because, you know, I'm in pediatrics, and the specialty that I'm in, it's viral season is here. It has already started. There's lots of calls. Mm-hmm. There's lots of appointments. And then it doesn't stop until maybe the spring. Not really, because, you know, the weather changes here. So really the summer is when, like, it kind of slows down when kids aren't in school. But personally, I feel like I'm doing less because I'm not outside as much. I'm not outdoors. I'm not out being social as much because it's cold. And the days are shorter. So I feel like in that aspect, I feel like my life kind of slows down just a little bit. I feel it more so this year because I think maybe I had a busy like September and just a busy summer because I've been doing more than I have the past couple years.
You know what's interesting about that though? Because, you know, Indiana weather have been real questionable in October.
Yes.
You know, we had 90 degrees, we had 50 degrees, we had all the above when fall started. And but when we had a cold day, but when we had a cold day, my mood, I was like, ooh, I could not put my finger on what was wrong with me all day. I was like, nothing happened, no one made me upset. But I was just in a very weird place. And I was like, oh my goodness, am I experiencing sad? Sad season. With the first change, like literally the first day, it was cold and gray. And I was like, And you know what it made me do? Go out, go do some stuff. And so I think that it also gets busy for me because I don't like to sit in my sadness. And so I'm like, I go make stuff to do. But at the same time, I will get overwhelmed because I'm trying so hard to combat that I do too much.
I can see that. What about you, Jenny? Do you feel like life kind of slows down for you in the fall?
No, I feel like it doesn't really change from the summer to the fall. You know, I think I've always been the type of person where it's like, okay, well, if it's cold outside, like, I know I still got to get out and do things. So it's like, I just got to bundle up, you know? So I feel like it doesn't really change. And plus, you know, my birthday is close to fall. So, you know, I get really excited when it comes to fall and doing all like the fun things, all the fall, you know, things that are outside. But I also feel like with just, you know, thinking about slowing down, like, I feel like just this whole year, you know, regardless of the season, I've been trying to incorporate slowing down in my life, but not necessarily based on like, oh, what I'm going out and doing and things like that. So I feel like, I'm sorry, Lola, stop scratching me. I feel like it doesn't change because it's the fall.
Do you, or have you experienced a seasonal affective disorder like Aisha was kind of talking about?
No, I have not. But it's funny that she mentions that because something that I've been thinking about and like doing more reading on this year is, you know, not to get too way off into the deep end, but when it comes to like your emotions and like sometimes you figure out or when you ask yourself, well, why, you know, it's kind of cold outside or this X, Y, and Z is happening. I don't know why. And it just feels off. And it could be because of the different emotions that you've experienced in the past around this season. And what it feels like is a reminder or it's kind of, you know, coming to the surface. So, yeah, I would say no. I mean, I like the fall season and it makes me cozy. So I kind of get excited about.
I mean, I like fall activities. And when fall weather acts right, I like that. But I don't like the shorter days. I don't like the cold. I don't like daylight savings time in the fall. I don't like falling back.
I forgot all about falling back.
Oh my God, I hate daylight savings time.
But you know what? I'm interested to see how that works for me this year, because I normally don't really like that either. But the way my child fights me about going to bed and how it be daytime at 10 p.m. and he's like, it ain't bedtime, run that shit back so that he can, he ain't gonna fight me. He gonna be like, oh, mommy, it's dark already. It sure is.
Yeah, I just don't want to feel that gloom and, you know, like you said, that or feel like more tired or just feel like that dread or gloom from, you know, the days being gray. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be more self-aware and cautious of that. And I think I feel it a lot, mm-hmm. too, at my job, because there's no windows in my office when I'm in.
That part that used to bother me a whole lot, it's not necessarily specific to a season, but you know that matters. And so it's like, you know, being somewhere where there's no windows and you don't know if it's daylight, sunny, warm, you know, you don't know. And so it's like, you know, on top of if you come outside and it is gray,
that's yeah. And this is the first fall that I've had this Monday through Friday schedule, so I'm also interested to see how that will affect how the days go for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad to know that y'all's lives don't slow down in the fall.
No, I don't get a break. I mean, even thinking, like you said, personally, Christmas,
I know.
I actually was very tempted because I had to order stuff the other day from a store and they were like, we already have your stocking stuffers and they're on sale. I was very tempted to just start ordering stuff mm-hmm. that day because I mm-hmm. am such a last minute shopper and I'm always like, oh, I'm going to shop for people every month so I don't have to do it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a mess. All these gifts, all these people, kids. Blessing
your own kid.
Now I got a whole nother role that I'm playing with that. So like,
yeah, I did forget about the holiday rush. It comes so fast, and it's like I can only think about one holiday at a time. I don't even got.
Oh, but all the holidays are in the store. We had Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas all in the store at the same time.
And I know.
Like, how did we
get it? So yes, even though I do love the holidays, I love the holidays. I'm a festive type of girl, so I do enjoy the holidays. I just don't like the cold. That's it.
I don't mind fall cold. I can do without winter cold.
I don't want that winter cold. Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a person who once it reaches a certain degree, I'm like, cold is cold, versus some people be like, I'm not going outside. Did you see it was 10 degrees? I'm like, what's the difference between 10 and 15 and 18? It all feels the same to me. So it could be -5. I wouldn't care. It all feels the same type of cold.
That's so funny you say that, because my mom was like, yeah, you know, when it starts snowing and the weather starts getting bad, you could just leave Zaya here. And I'm like, I'm not going to work either. I don't. What are you? I'm not going. I'll have my laptop. I'll work from home.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, let me not say that on here. A lot of people don't work in December. That's all I'm going to say.
And I'm very jealous.
I mean, like, or if we do, we already have like a week or so when we're closed, mm-hmm. and then people will pad a vacation around that or two. Mm-hmm. So then they might be off 2 to 3 weeks leading into the holiday. That are, like you said, it's all virtual work because no one's in the office. So it's like, mm-hmm. That'll be nice.
Yeah. I think once I graduated school, I think that's when, you know, slowing down, I stopped feeling, because it's like all year there's no breaks. I mean, other than, you know, if I take vacation. So like when I was in school, I did feel like that, okay, it's the fall, it's slowing down, I got Christmas break, what breaks? Like, I mean, other than taking vacation. So I feel like that's when I kind of stopped feeling that.
That makes sense. Because, yeah, when you're in school, it's like, okay, this is my focus. This is what I have to do. You know, my priorities. Right. Yeah. Well, I hope y'all get some time to y'all selves in the fall and are able to at least make some intentional time to slow down a little bit before the holidays pick up and, you know, we start that new year, new me transition.
Oh, bless it.
Well, you know, it's coming in the beginning of the year. I swear it just feels like hit the ground running. It ain't no, like you said, no breaks.
Let's leave the new me's behind. We got to make that the topic. We got to be refined me's, revolutions, evolved me's, something. Ain't no new me. You same me.
Now it's time to hop into our segment where we are going to be well, be loved, and be the best you that you can be. And for our wellness segment, we are going to talk about mental fitness. Now, what do y'all think mental fitness is?
Sounds like something I am not. It's given very out of shape. It's given need lean shakes and Weight Watchers.
Well, mental fitness is, you know, what you do to keep your brain sharp. It increases your ability to maintain a state of well-being, and it improves your awareness. You know how, like, you could be driving somewhere and you are, like, in a trance and you kind of you don't remember how you got there?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of keeps you from being in that automatic or automated thinking and kind of gets you out of like that daze or that fogs and kind of just makes you more focused, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you how you can become mentally fit, but I'm going to tell you just a few benefits. Yeah.
Yeah, look, this is me raising my hand. Is it more like your nervous system?
It is kind of like exercising your brain, but like with things that are going to make you increase like your logic and your reasoning, just again, like make your brain sharper.
Okay.
So some benefits of being mentally fit, it helps you be more present and intentional. You have the ability to respond instead of reacting. It makes you more aware of your emotions, improves your focus and your concentration, makes you more confident and helps you develop or be better at developing positive habits, and increases your sleep.
Need that.
So there's just like five. I'm gonna just do five ways that you can become mentally fit. They're actually very easy. To just, you know, help your brain be more sharp. So the first one that you can do, Aisha, is stop multitasking.
Bless it.
that doesn't help you be focused. Just do one task at a time.
Literally not possible. Okay.
It is possible. You can do it. One task at a time. Because do you feel like you're getting the work done faster by multitasking?
Here's the thing. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's not my preference.
I understand. The second thing that you can do to be mentally fit is increase your leisure reading, which I know that sounds wild because who has time for that? But I try to make time right after Zay goes to bed and the little cushion time that I have to myself. I try to do just a little leisure reading because I do enjoy reading. I know reading isn't for everybody, but that can help me be mentally fit. But you might like this one. The third one is play games. So you could play like board games or crosswords or Sudoku if you're into that. You could do Wordle or video games that again help with like your logic, reasoning, trivia, something that kind of get your brain flowing. You can try something new, so have a new hobby, learn a new recipe, find a new way to accomplish your task. If what the way you're, you know, where the way that you were doing it before wasn't working, of course traveling always opens your mind. Or find a new route to work. If you are one of those people that, again, gets in a daze because you're just driving and you're like, dang, how did I get here? Maybe find a new route to work can help open your mind. And the last one is meditate, because that can help you focus, even if it's for a minute. Just try to get in a quiet space with no distractions. Close your eyes and just focus on your breathing. Try to clear your mind. I wouldn't really recommend for being mentally fit brain dumping, because I do enjoy brain dumping. I do it myself. But I feel like it just clears your mind. And sometimes it could just make you not more confused, but you know how like you go to bed at night and your brain won't stop? Sometimes that happens.
That's my brain dump.
Do you feel better after you
do? Yeah, because it's not on my brain. Because I feel like sometimes when I need a brain dump, it's because I'm literally trying to remember it all.
Okay.
And so then writing it down takes the pressure off of my brain to remember it.
Okay, because it's in another space. That's not your head.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
I'm like, dang, that's the only thing I'm doing on this list, Tyra. Can't brain dump. I got 8 audio book credits right now. What?
You could brain dump, but like sometimes for me, if I brain dump, I just feel like I'm thinking harder because I'm thinking, what is in my brain that I need to dump?
Need to dump? Yeah. See, my brain don't do that.
In my brain, I got things just overflowing. I'm like, I'm just trying to get out of my brain.
Sometimes need to brain dump so fast that sometimes recently I've stopped even writing my dumps. I voice memo or I voice talk to text because I can't even type as fast as all the things that I'm dumping.
And sometimes I feel like I'm going to forget what I need to brain dump. I don't know. It's too much.
That's funny.
But maybe I'll do like a little series and the next time we can talk about being emotionally fit. Do an emotional fit.
Yeah.
Are you ready to be loved?
Barely, girl. Barely. I can. That's why you was like, don't be multitasking. I know you was looking at my eyes. Because I was over here looking at my notes. But you know me. Okay, so today on the Be Loved segment, I wanted to chat about show and tell. And it came up in my connection recently because me and this person have 2 different ways that we communicate feelings. And so I wanted to ask y'all, do you have a preference in someone showing you how much they care or telling you how much they care?
I think these days I would probably prefer someone to show me more than tell me. And you can show, I mean, I feel like we're kind of talking about our love languages a little bit, but not a little quite. Bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it made me think about, because my love language is quality time. So mm-hmm. I would rather someone show me by when we're spending time together, you know, there's mm-hmm. different ways that you can, I guess, show me that you care about me or how you feel about me. But yeah, I'd rather them show me.
Okay. How about you, Yenny?
Yeah, I agree. I would rather you show me as well. I think, you know, young Jenny used to, you know, get crazy off of, oh, isn't he said this and he said all these things. But I think, you know, as we know, talk is cheap. People can say anything. So it's like, no, you got to show me. And, you know, y'all might see this thing like, you know, if they wanted to, they would. And yeah, if somebody wants that time with you, then they'll make time. And if they're coming up with a reason why, it's because that's not what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So I look at it real black. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's kind of what made me think about it for today, because I think we see so many memes right now about, oh, talk is cheap, or at this point in my life, you need to do more than you tell, or blah, blah. You know, we get all of that. But I feel like whichever end of the spectrum you're on, when you don't get one or the other, you desire the other. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to talk about today was, how do you balance show and tell within your connections to make sure that each of you get what you need or have clarity, or that you're on the same page about how you feel. And so, and I want to talk about why it's important. First of all, depending on who that person is, if I'm very much so a words person, like, you can show me a lot of things, but if you don't say certain words, it just makes my head swirl. It makes me guess. Like, I'd be like, do Tyra like me this today? Like, I mean, I talked to her, but maybe she ain't feeling me like that, and I'm not sure, you know? And it's important for me to hear that. Like, no, girl, I love you. We still friends. Just using you as an example.
I know.
But it lets people know that they're here for and care for in the way that they prefer to understand it. But balancing show and tell is also important because it helps the audio match the visual. Like, and it's important for the audio to match the visual. Like, you can't tell someone how much you love and care about them and then you cheat on them all the time. Or you don't show up, you know, or vice versa. You know, maybe you're very committed and you do all the things, but you're not an I love you person, or you're not, you know, saying thank you or I appreciate you type of person. And then that may make that person feel like you don't, because they haven't heard you say it. Speaking of I love yous, it's not also just about that. There are a lot of different ways that you can tell someone that you care about them and how you care. Whether it's, I appreciate you for showing up for me, or I appreciated you doing X, Y, and Z. Or I'm really proud of you. I'm proud that you did this thing at work, or that you're trying with your goals. Like, it just shows that you're engaged with that person and that you see them too. An important way to show and tell is making sure that you also lean into their love language. So that's what you were getting at, Tyra. It can kind of tap into that, but the art is still having a balance with it. And so your love language, you said, is quality time. Mm-hmm. You got another one, or that's your main one?
That's my main one. But okay. It's funny because I think that words of affirmation is second, probably. I can't really remember, but so you're right. They are both important. But I think, yeah, I think that's the top two.
Yeah. Mine's all of them, so that's a mixed bag. But I, because I swear. But making sure that you know what your person's love language is and leaning more into that, but not for still forgetting about the other ones. That doesn't take everything off the table. It just may be that there's one that you need to pay special attention to. So that's how you balance that as far as the love language is with showing and telling. And then last but not least, I'll say one way that you can make sure that you're balancing show and tell is to ask. I know when I was married previously, and now that I'm a co-parent, we actually do still have the same, like we used to have married, like couple meetings. Now we have co-parent meetings and we don't just talk about our son's schedule or, you know, what days we need backup for things that he has to do. We also make sure that we're in a good place. And so I might ask like, hey, I haven't done anything to upset you recently. Have I? Are we okay? Or, you know, have I showed you that I appreciate you as his dad or X, Y, and Z? You could do that within any connection of saying, like, how have you felt cared for or loved recently? So that you can know what they are taking in and making sure that you continue to pour that too. So, does that make sense?
Of course. Y'all so precious.
Who?
You and your co-parent. That's so good.
Oh, I'm like, I don't know who. I didn't know. Greg. I didn't know which rabbit you were going to pull out the hat, okay? Because I just had to even stop talking earlier. I was about to throw a lot up. And I was like, whoo, it's a lot. But yeah, I enjoy that we do that too. I think that it's kept communication lines open. It kills tension very easily. And I don't, you know, we send those type of messages to each other all the time. Tristan had like crazy things happening at school. And he was like, hey, like, just to let you know, you're awesome. You're an awesome mom. I couldn't do this without you. And, you know, and you handled that great. Like, I appreciated hearing that a lot. So just making sure that we are showing and telling, you know, people in our lives, whether it's romantic or platonic, how we care.
That's so amazing. Y'all should. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Y'all need. Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to get off my. I was about to say, y'all need to sell that. Y'all need to, like.
Listen. I've asked him. I will see. I'm not trying to impact his love life anymore. Because I am pro my baby daddy finding love. If anybody is listening to this Be Love segment and run and tell that I said I'm pro my baby daddy loving somebody and finding his next wife, because I am.
Absolutely. For sure.
Yes.
I like that topic. That was a good one.
Thanks.
Jenny, are you ready to tell us how to be the best us we can be? I didn't know how to grammatically say that.
I am. So for the Be You segment, I want to talk about abundance. I feel like this has been very heavy on my heart this year. And I feel like it somewhat ties into, you know, when we talked about slowing down. I think through being able to slow down this year, I've really been intentional with creating abundance, because for a long time, it just felt like, okay, I'm missing something. Like, there's something I'm supposed to be doing. I'm missing something. And so I had to just say, let's pause, let's kind of figure out, you know, what's already going right. And so I have a question for you all, when it comes to like creating abundance, or just like that term and everything around it, like, what does that mean for you?
This is so timely. I literally just finished having this conversation 45 minutes ago. And it was more of this person telling me about how they think about abundance, but it also made me think about you, Jenny, and our conversation we just had. But to answer your question, because I agree with what they were saying too, or the message they were receiving, which was I don't create abundance. I receive abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think the way that I receive it could possibly lead to more, or the way that I manage it, that's probably the word I'm looking for, could lead to more, but only if I manage it well. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's how I think about it.
You did. I guess I just want to know, like, do you feel like, okay, you say you don't create abundance, but do you feel like you don't create abundance because you never really felt like you were lacking? And so it's like, well, I'm just already abundant.
Oh, no.
So.
I wouldn't say that. I would say definitely have been without. I guess what I'm saying is, not to get too spiritual / woo-woo, is I believe that I get abundance from my creator. And so I manage that abundance that's given to me. And if I manage it accordingly, then I can lead to more.
I don't think you can talk about abundance without being spiritual in some aspects, regardless of whether you're religious or more spiritual, or you teeter-totter between both, because, you know, God does want you to have abundance. And so, you know, whatever or whoever your God is, I think across all boards, that's like a common thing. So when I think of abundance, I think of it twofold. I think of a quantifiable measure, because, you know, your bank account, whatever you set that to be. But also, when I think of a non-quantifiable term for abundance, I also think about joy. And what does my life look like? And at the time, am I feeling joy? Because in certain ways, I feel like my cup is overflowing. And that's even with something as simple as peace. You can't buy that. So I think you can look at abundance a lot of ways, and like Aisha said, you can appreciate it more when you can think about areas in your life where you have lacked, in certain areas where you may be, you know, more fulfilled or more abundant now.
Okay, I appreciate both of your opinions on that, because I think, like Aisha, what you were saying, I don't think I thought about parts of what you were saying, but not in a sense of like, okay, well, I don't create abundance. Like, I think what abundance means to me and what it's been for me is like, I feel like me creating it within myself, so I'm able to receive it. So I hadn't really thought about it in that way before. Just because, like, you know, I think, you know, different things that I've gone through in life just kind of questioned, some things, and, you know, feeling like I'm missing something. Or even when it comes to just having like a positive mindset, you know, I feel like, you know, as I've been on my journey this year, I've come across different people where I'm like, okay, you are operating out of a scarcity mindset. And it's like, you know, no matter how bad things are, showing gratitude to the things that you do have, so you are able to receive more abundance. Because I feel like if you are operating out of lack or out of scarcity, you're going to, like, abundance is not going to gravitate towards you. It's like, it's going to force it away.
Yes, because, and that's where the management, I think, comes in. When you are, you say operating out of scarcity, and kind of like what Tyra was talking about, I feel like we create that thought within ourselves. Now, that's not to take for granted that there are definitely scenarios where, it's scarce. But even during those times, looking at things like it's enough, though. You know, and appreciating that it's enough. Like that little baby car sitting outside, was giving me the blues this summer, you know, and I was like, ooh, gotta throw this car out the window. But I was like, but it's enough, but it drives, but I can fix it, you know, and I could figure out ways that I can maintain it regularly so that I didn't have to come into that situation again. Because I know that if I don't take care of what I have, I'm not going to get anything better.
Yeah. I completely agree. So I feel like abundance is like, you know, Tyra, you mentioned like joy, or you mentioned like your cup overflowing. And so just living a life where no matter kind of where you're at, like you just have a feeling of fullness because you're so appreciative of all the things that you do have, regardless if it's, you know, if it's something more you're wanting. It's like you're appreciating what you do have. And then also, I think with abundance, it's like, you know, you're able to not hold on because you're not afraid that, you know, you're not going to get whatever back or you're not going to get something to you. So it's like, whether it's like emotions or like, you know, actually you had talked about like your car, you know, all the money that you had to pay out for your car. It's like, you know, yeah, you know, we might not want to have to do it, but it's like, okay, well, I know it's going to help me in the long run. So let me not hold on to it because I know that I'm going to get it back. And so, you know, having faith and being confident and comfortable kind of almost in the unknown, yeah. But trusting yourself that, okay, you're creating that abundance and so you're going to get it back. So I kind of mentioned maybe a way or two already of how you can kind of create abundance or even build upon your abundance. But use what you have. You know, like I kind of thought about some things that I was trying to do within my life. And I'm like, okay, Jennifer, you have a lot of resources already around you. So use those instead of feeling like, okay, I got to go out and get all these things. It's like, no, let's figure out what you have and use what you already have within you. And then one last thing, is think about, like your skills, your skill set. You know, a lot of people might feel like they're not good at something, but just think about all the things that you've gone through and that you've overcome and you conquered. Obviously you had to have some type of skill set to get through that. So think about all those things that, you know, you've been able to do and figure out, okay, how did I do that? And then use those skills just to build.
Ooh, child.
I could literally
shout, because all I can think about is anytime y'all say, Naisha, how you know how to do that? I don't know. But God, whatever skills I needed to have to be doing what I'm doing, and I have them for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So that's literally what I think of. Like you said, gifts, skills that people don't think about, or yeah, there's skills that can help you grow other skills. Like, shout. Don't take those skills for granted, child. Yeah.
And I love the thing that you said about resources, because I think people forget that part of it. I think that they think that they have to build the house from the ground up by themselves without any help. Yes. And, you know, when I used to train new nurses, I would tell them all the time, your job is not to know everything. Your job is to know who to call. Because my job relies on a lot of other disciplines and a lot of other people. And so I think that it's so important to realize not only like who's your village, but where else does your help come from? And, you know, being grateful for that help, or figuring out how to find that help. Because, like, you know, like I was saying, people think, oh, I just got to do it by myself. And you don't have to. You probably aren't even using many of the resources that you have.
Ooh, right. Ooh, I'm going to shout again, because I mean, if we think about us, look, Tyra about to tap us out.
No, I'm not.
Because when you think about, I mean, even think about our team and our journey and our experience. Ooh, bless it. And we are, I don't even know how many years in this. Five, six, possibly. Seven?
Eight.
What year is this? Ooh, it's 8 years.
It's 20.
Ooh, bless it. See, I didn't even know. 8 years doing the strength and she, and we were doing everything by ourselves. And I mean, to a certain extent, we still are. But we started to unload, like, this is not our skill. Is it still important? Yes or no. Is it driving the goal? Yes or no. Is it getting us to somewhere else? Yes or no. And bringing in, like, sure, it may cost. Okay, I'm going to have to figure it out, because we're going to have to pay so-and-so to do this, because we can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can't say how
grateful I am to have made and for us to have made some of the connections that we have, especially over the last 2 years, because I really feel like they were just additional resources that were just being thrown in our lane, because it's going to open up more abundance for everything that we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Chills.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's just keep the ball rolling. Do you have a do you have a motivational she-spiration for us?
Ooh, I'm about to get y'all to shouting again, because I know I shouted on this one. I do. So I feel like this is on beat for everything. I mean, for everyone, in my opinion, but really for us and what we've been doing with, you know, planning everything this year. But I'm leaving y'all with by any means necessary. And so whenever that comes to anything that you got to do in life, you know, whether it's working out, where you're learning a new skill, where you're doing this and doing that, you know, you have to tell yourself by any means necessary. And so you're not going to let anything get in your way. You're not going to say, oh, I don't know how to do it. Let me go to YouTube. Let me Google. Let me do all these things. And it's like, you know, with your goals, especially like going into the end of the year, it's like you have to have that mental toughness and, you know, say, I'm gonna make it happen by any means necessary.
Yes.
Snap.
Yes.
Woo. That is, this episode is the epitome of who we are as people, because we started laughing and ended with a word. If that is not who we are as individuals and as a group, what a wonderful episode. We talked about the elements and
all of them. Apparently all four of them.
The elements.
Even Earth.
We talked about our lives and how they don't slow down in the fall, apparently. We also talked about being mentally fit, how to show and tell your person that you care about them in abundance. Like, they be getting these episodes for free. This is
for free.
This is some good content.
Ooh, tell them where they need to go pay, though.
They could go pay at thestrengthandshe.com, because we taking donations. That is our way of passing the collection plate around. Go to our website. You can also interact with us on Instagram and Twitter at shenanigans_pod. And, you know, Lord willing, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Bye.